Hello, and in episode 14 of the Writing Talk podcast, we'll be having a quick roundup of my news. Then we'll be diving into this week's main topic, which is keeping writing when times get tough. And then we'll be having a little bit of listener feedback, and then wrapping up the show with this week's Writer's Toolbox tip. Welcome to the Writing Talk podcast, a show that helps you to build your skills as we go on our writing journey together. So, what have I been up to over the last week? Well, I've been part of a sci-fi and fantasy promotion on the self-publishing roundtable website, along with a whole bunch of other authors. Part of the promotion was a giveaway organised using Rafflecopter, and that was quite interesting. I think there's some points I can raise from that, because I was interested to see what options in a Rafflecopter other writers used. I don't know if you've used Rafflecopter, but you're allowed to ask people to do certain things, for instance, like to share a tweet or to follow you on Twitter or something like that. I used the option which was to ask people to sign up to my mailing list, and I got a nice few extra subscribers on my list as a result of that giveaway, I'm sure. I was really pleased with that. But I did notice that quite a few other writers were doing things like just asking people to visit their Facebook page or to follow them on Twitter. I don't know if maybe these writers didn't have mailing lists, but I really thought they were missing a valuable opportunity there to get a few more subscribers onto their list. If you've delved much into the world of social media management, you will come across the idea that things like the number of followers on Twitter and the number of page likes on Facebook are often what's called vanity metrics. It's something that people like to look at, but they don't really mean much other than appealing to your vanity, I'm afraid. So it doesn't really matter how many thousands of people follow you on Twitter if none of them are listening to you. And it doesn't matter how many people have liked your page on Facebook if those people are realistically unlikely to engage with the content on your page. The key takeaway message here is to understand, I think, that there's a vast difference between having followers and having a following. A small but active following, that is a group of people who, you know, really looking forward to your next tweet or your Facebook post, is a wonderful thing to have. And you must try to grow that group of people purposefully, and you've got to look after them. You've got to nurture that. These people, they're part of your tribe, they're your fans, they're your support network, all very important things. And this is very different to having a vast army of people who will click on pretty much everything in front of them just for the sake of it. So, you know, it's worth thinking about that distinction. Just really hit me as I'm going through my news, the difference between having followers and a following. What you want is a following. Okay, in other news, and rather sadly to report, the publisher of some of my books, which is called Booktrope, suddenly announced on the Friday that it was closing its doors at the end of May and shutting up shop. And, you know, that kind of set the tone for a weekend for a large numbers, you know, hundreds of authors who were with them and hundreds of other people in other capacities working as editors or designers and so on, suddenly had their lives kind of thrown upside down. I think it's particularly caused a lot of anxiety to the authors because of the way that it was handled, unfortunately. Apparently the business, the Booktrope business, wasn't really making enough money to continue, and so it's, you know, it simply folded up completely. So in the people who I sort of interact with quite a bit online and so on, it's quite a bit of anxiety and stress this weekend as people were struggling to come to terms with a whole new set of problems and having to sort of get themselves going again. Now, one good thing that's come out of it is that the publisher did announce that they're returning all the rights back to the authors, and that at least is something of a blessing. It can be difficult if a traditional publisher folds, I believe, to get your rights back, and it can take, you know, years, but here we should be getting them back at the end of the month. That some of the downside came really because a Booktrope model was that it worked on a team publishing idea where designers, editors and others were paid on a royalty split from book sales. So a lot of good people have been left in the lurch now. we're trying to work out what to do about all this because there were 5-year contracts put in place and so on. And the idea of having to sort of then track all this and divvy up the royalties appropriately and so on is a bit of a nightmare. The nice thing is that because the indie writing community is such a nice and giving place, I've come across quite a few people who said, look, this is going to be impossible. I know I've done some work for you, but, you know, we'll write it off. Perhaps you'll give me some acknowledgement. And it's just hopeless saying you could actually try and work out these small sums over a period. It would be quite difficult. And that's really wonderful. I mean, I've been on the receiving end of some of that generosity from editors and proofreaders who said, okay, you know, we'll put it down to experience. And I mean, that kind of thing is really generous, and it does create lots of goodwill, I think. So, you know, certainly when I'm looking for people to edit and so on in the future, I'll be calling those people up and saying, you know, you've done me a great favour, and I will put as much work your way as I can. It's always good to you know, make sure you look after your relationships with the other people in the community. But I have to say that dealing with all this personally has been a major distraction on my writing, which is a shame because it was going pretty fast. But, you know, even so, I must say that I have done my best to really keep going as much as possible. You know, just to say, put that to one side, sit down at my desk, as usual, crack on with the task that I'm doing. And that takes me very naturally into this week's main topic, which is keeping writing when times are rough. Okay, well, one thing I can tell you for certain is that if you write for long enough, the rough patches will come and get you. Maybe they'll be linked to your home life or your personal life. Maybe they'll show themselves in the form of a chapter you can't quite finish, or an edit that seems to take forever. Or perhaps you have a plot that you're struggling with that absolutely refuses to resolve, no matter which way you try and rearrange it. Perhaps you're simply trying to get back into writing after you've had a lengthy break and you're finding it really difficult to get going again. But whatever the cause, that feeling you get of hitting a wall with your writing can be really quite hard to take. Now, a lot of people commonly call this idea writer's block, but I don't think that's particularly fair or useful either. When you're struggling with your writing, you haven't got a disease or a dreadful condition. You're frustrated and you're stymied, which is a wonderful word, isn't it? If you sort of give this feeling that you've got a frustration a name and a label and call it something official sounding, it will perhaps, you know, it can just reinforce it. I don't think it really helps at all, so I'm just going to push that word to one side. So what will help if you're feeling like that? Well, here are some suggestions that I've put down for you. They're not in any particular order, and I'll whiz through them. But first, just let me say this. I mean, writing is a strange and a curious compulsion that a lot of us have. When you're a writer, it kind of feels as though your writing is an integral part of your identity. It's not so much what you do as who you are. And you often have to struggle and fight to grab that writing time amidst a series of, you know, other obligations as well that you have, you know, be it work or family or relationships and so on. But sometimes those other things really must come first. So, you know, really make sure that you are looking after your loved ones and nurturing your relationships. Make sure you're looking after your home life and your personal health as well. You know, try not to sort of get sacked from your day job if you have one. You know, try and keep things on an even keel in the rest of your life. And that will probably help in itself. And all these things will pay you back because they will make you more productive. I mean, the idea that you have to be sort of riddled with angst and stress to make your art is an absolute nonsense if you stop to think about it. Stress is the enemy of creativity. You really can't do anything creative if you've got a lot of other things weighing you down. So you really need to build a healthy and a happy life outside your writing. It's the foundation of your work, and it's a bedrock, if you like, of your creativity. So try, if you possibly can, and it can be difficult sometimes, but try to get your priorities right and keep things straight. And that's just kind of my disclaimer before I go into these, because, you know, it could be that it's nothing to do with your writing or the way you're writing at all. It could be other things. Put those right first, perhaps, and the problem will go away. But assuming everything's all fine and it's just your writing that's causing you some problems, let's have a look at some ways that you can get that writing mojo working again. So first off, quite a simple thing to do is to try changing the setting in which you work. You could try writing in a different room. Could be as simple as that. If you normally write at home, then you could try somewhere like your local library or a coffee shop, somewhere like that. Or vice versa. If you're normally in a coffee shop, maybe try the peace and quiet of home for a change. I wouldn't recommend, as you're flitting around rooms, that you sort of set up your writing space in your bedroom or other place that you sleep, because that's often referred to as bad sleep hygiene, that sort of thing. If your bedroom becomes a workplace, it can then be quite hard to relax later when you're trying to get some sleep and some rest, because your mind sort of associates it with a more wakeful state. But for a short space of time, it can be quite nice to sort of put your feet upon the bed and prop yourself up with a couple of nice pillows and sit there, in a bit of peace and quiet and scribble away on a pad or whatever. It kind of makes a nice change. Another thing that makes a really nice change, if you haven't tried it, is just to grab a notebook and a pen and head outside. It's not ideal to try using a laptop because the sunlight on the screen and stuff isn't ideal. A tablet might not be so bad, but even then, I think it's quite a nice feeling just to change your habits completely and take a notepad and a pen or something and just sit outside, as long as the weather's okay, which here in the UK is fairly debatable, even in summer. Alternatively, if you want to keep to your usual workspace, there are lots of things you can do to change the environment whilst you're there. A lot of people write to music. I change my mind about this all the time. I don't stick to one routine. So, have a play about and see what works for you. But if I do use music, I like something quite soothing most of the time and preferably instrumental because of the lyrics aren't intruding on me too much. But things like film scores can be great, or a bit of sort of nice mellow jazz. On the other hand, sometimes I kind of feel like I need a bit of energy and a bit of a kick in the pants, so then I'll have something nice and fast-paced, something lively. I've had quite a bit of success trying sort of ambient sounds. That's where you have things like wind or rain. And I actually find that pretty good as a way of encouraging me to focus on what I'm doing. At the moment, I'm using a website which is called asoftmurmur.com. I'll put a link in the show notes on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com. And a soft murmur is a website that can play a whole variety of noises. You can sort of turn them on and off, bird song, waves, wind, rainfall, fire, all sorts of things. And it has a setting called meander that allows it, the sound, to sort of gently drift from one of these things to another. So one sound will fade in, another one, fades out. That's quite nice because you don't have to do anything to it and it sort of gently changes in the background. Whatever I'm listening to, though, I always wear comfortable headphones. I just can't seem to work with music coming through speakers. I don't know what it is about it, but that doesn't work for me. Nice comfy headphones with nice air cushions are good because they're good at cutting out background noise. So if you've got noise going on in your house or around you, it'll help to cut that out. And it helps you to sort of get that feeling of isolation that's quite nice, that sort of allows you to cut your mind off from the rest of what's going on the rest of the house and focus on what you're doing. And I do find generally that music and ambient sound can stop your mind from wandering too far. Because if your mind begins to wander, it sort of gets as far as, oh, what's that song I'm listening to at the moment? And then it kind of, all right, okay, back to work. But if you're already using music and still something isn't working, then you could try sort of looking for new playlists or compiling a new playlist. Generally, whatever you're used to doing, change it. Have a play around with it. Another environment factor you can change is your lighting. You might find something like having the room quite dark and then just having a single desk lamp. So you're there in that little isolated bubble where you can do your creative tasks. That can be quite a nice thing. It's worth having a think about adjusting your chair, tidying up your workspace, getting the clutter off your desk and things like that. If you've got sort of bills you're meant to be paying and stuff lying around on your desk, they're going to keep distracting you. So, get off, deal with them, pay your bills, whatever it is, or, throw out rubbish that you've accumulated. Just have a bit of a rearrange of your workspace. And maybe you could even think about moving your desk somewhere different, perhaps where the light's better or something like that. For any of these things, though, don't go through them all endlessly. don't end up using them as an excuse to procrastinate. You think, oh, I'll just tidy my desk for the fifth time, you know, and sharpen all my pencils. Because it's just too easy for an hour to become a day, and a day becomes a week. Instead, just think of one little change and keep it to just one and try it for a while. Keep the things that work well for you and ditch anything that doesn't. So that's your setting and environment fix. So what else can we do to keep your writing flame alive? One good trick, I know quite a few people say this, and I've certainly used this, is to try working on a different part of the writing process. Now, if you've listened to a couple of these podcasts by now, you'll know that I like to think of the different processes, such as planning, editing, drafting, etc., as separate. If you get stuck into any one of those processes for too long, they can get very overwhelming. And I mentioned earlier the idea of sort of an edit that seems to be going on forever, you know, or a draft that you just can't seem to finish. So it starts off and you think, well, I must finish this, you know, process. I must finish this edit or this draft until I get to the very end. But actually, if you're looking at a novel length thing, that's actually quite demanding. That's actually quite challenging. And if you complete the whole draft without doing any editing whatsoever or revision or review whatsoever, you're going to have an absolute mountain of work to deal with at the end of the drafting. So it might work better for you just to mix the routine up a little. So it might be that, you know, after spending a while drafting, you go back and revise an earlier part. And it kind of gives your mind a break. And it can be especially useful if you're having a bad day. You know, rather than give up or get frustrated or angry with your work, you know, just say, OK, I'll leave that for a while. I'll go back to doing this other process. And it just sort of keeps the variety going. So you could go back and do a bit of editing of an earlier piece, you know, as a break from a draft. Or perhaps if you're doing a lot of editing, you could take some time from that just to go sit somewhere else, sit down for half an hour and jot down some plans for your next novel. You know, do a bit of advanced planning. And it's a bit like keeping lots of plates spinning in the air all at once. But, you know, a bit of variety is the spice of life, as they say. It's a bit of a cliche, but I think it's nice to mentally break off from one thing and do something else rather than sticking to it, you know, just out of some sort of sense of dogged determination that you must finish a certain thing. And then you end up feeling burnt out and wrung out and, you know, no good to anybody. And you're probably not doing a good job of the thing you're doing anyway, you know. So be prepared just to break out of one routine and go into another one. A similar idea is to work out of sequence. So say you're stuck in a scene and you've sort of got into a rather unproductive cycle of criticizing yourself and rewriting this scene, and you know, you never get to the end of this scene. You could jump ahead and work on a later chapter. Either you could go back and look at some of your earlier work and put in some things like maybe some foreshadowing, something like that. It's just worth, you know, skipping backwards and forwards a bit. One of the reasons that I recommend that, not just sort of to give you a break, but because if you're struggling with something, and I've found this myself, you're struggling with a scene, it might be because, you know, some little voice in your mind is telling you that something somewhere isn't working, something isn't quite right. It's like almost as if your mind's saying, I don't quite believe this story that you're telling here. Something isn't working. So sometimes just jumping ahead or jumping back will suddenly give you a eureka moment where that's why that doesn't work, because of this. You know, it's a bit like sort of untangling a tangled ball of string or fishing line or something like that. And if you've ever had to deal with that, and I have often, then you know the only way to tackle it is to tease it out very gently, and you sort of pick away at the knots, gently loosening everything until the thing sort of unravels and becomes usable again. So if you're, you know, your tangle in this case, the analogy is your full-length novel, and just going back over earlier parts may reveal the problem which is making your writing sort of stick in your craw and breaking your flow up. I mean, it's amazing how when you're working on something so intently, like writing a full-length novel, you can kind of lose some sense of what you've done before. And I've sometimes looked back at earlier chapters and been really surprised to discover that I hadn't written what I thought I'd written. So that the version in my mind didn't match up with what was actually there in the manuscript. And so that time of just going back was actually really valuable. It's a bit like an artist working on a big canvas. They have to take a step back every so often just to really get an overview of what they're doing. Or a sculptor, you know, is working on a massive sculpture. You really need to step back every so often and just check from all angles that the thing is taking shape properly. Another thing that might help you to sort of break out of an unproductive spot is to be quite playful. Don't be afraid to play around with your work. Your frustration and your sense of being stymied might just be because you're taking it all far too seriously. And it can be worth just asking yourself a few sort of what if questions. You know, what if this happened instead? So that was my idea, you know, but what if? And they can even be silly or playful things if you want. I mean, you could do something significant like changing a character around. For example, you might want to swap their age or their gender. You might want to suddenly, you know, you might have thought, oh, this person's the villain and I'm actually going to swap them and have somebody else be the villain after all. Even if you just do it for fun and scribble it on a piece of paper, it might sort of make you lighten up a bit and just sort of open your mind up to some possibilities. I mean, you can do something silly. You could write a paragraph where your brave hero suddenly falls down a hole or something. You know, it's only typing. You can delete it later, or you could put it into a document and call it blooper reel, you know, a bit like they do on Toy Story and things. You could have a little blooper reel of outtakes. It could be imagined outtakes, and they could be quite fun and just get you back into really enjoying your creation for a while. And it might give you some really good insights into the story. If you imagine, well, what would this character do if it fell down a hole or slipped on a banana skin or something? And if they don't give you some insights, well, who knows? It might be kind of fun. It might be the kind of thing you could share with your fans. You know, you could put them on your blog or tweet about them or put them on Facebook or something, just as a, you know, as a bit of lighthearted entertainment. So having thought about your manuscript and what we can do with that, let's have a look at you, because you need to look after yourself. So physical exercise is a really great way of recharging your batteries, especially if you can get some fresh air at the same time. I mean, if gyms are your thing, then try that. The great thing that I like about sort of going for a brisk walk is that, you know, it can take as little as, say, 15 minutes, but you don't need any special equipment. You can do it in most weather conditions, you know, so long as you can put a coat on and wrap up warm or whatever in winter. Okay, I know some of you live in places perhaps with more extreme climates than we have in the UK, but you're here certainly more often than not. You can take a quick walk, and it's hard to find an excuse not to do it. Whereas if I say to myself, oh, I'm going to go to the gym or the swimming pool or something, then a whole bunch of reasons will emerge why it's just so much easier not to do it. You know, it's too easy to make excuses for me for that sort of thing. And while we're on the topic of exercise, don't forget to check your posture. I mean, it might seem unrelated to being stuck in your writing, but actually, if you're putting a lot of strain on your body, then making yourself uncomfortable. I mean, it's not surprising that you're finding it difficult to write. Having poor posture can give you headaches and other aches and pains all over your body, and that can really affect your concentration. And now, I'm not an expert on this. There are lots of places where you can look online for advice on posture. I would suggest you do that. So I won't go into all those here, but it's something to put on your mental checklist. You know, are you just sitting or working in a way that's really uncomfortable and unhealthy? And have a look at those things, because they could really reinvigorate you. And here's something else just to think about. You may not have connected with sort of trouble with writing, but if you talk to lots of writers online or in person, it won't be long before someone starts talking about using cups of strong coffee to keep them going. I'd just say, just be a bit wary of that. A certain level of caffeine can be beneficial, but it can quite quickly get to the point where it, I don't know if you know this, but it actually reduces the flow of blood to the brain, does caffeine, and that's really the last thing you want. That's why, you know, some people say they get irritable if they have too much coffee and so on. It cuts down the circulation. Personally, I have decaf, and, you know, once you get used to it, I'm perfectly happy with it. But similarly, you know, a lot of people will say, oh, you know, I have a drink of something or other. And again, you know, I'm not prudish about these things. Sometimes a little drink can help to sort of relax you a bit, get your writing muscles loosened up. But you know, not a good idea for your health and mental well-being to rely on it too heavily. Don't want it to be something that sort of props you up so that you can't write without it, do we? And on that slightly somber note, that takes us over to the listener feedback part of the show, because I'm wondering what tips you have that could help your fellow writers to break out of any slumps they might be having. So if you could comment on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com, you could tell me some tips or tricks that you've used to get your writing going again, especially the kind of things that have worked on the days that you really didn't feel like writing. So a good place to leave comments is on the site at writingtalkpodcast.com. That's all one word, Writing Talk Podcast. And you might get a mention on the show and a link back to your site in the show notes in next week's show. So an example to show how this works is last week I asked for feedback on the subject of using dictation software to write your novel, and I had some great feedback from the author of the popular thriller The Anonymous Source, a writer called A.C. Fuller. And this is what he says. He says, "I love Dragon Dictation. Wrote a couple of key scenes of The Anonymous Source on it while sitting around waiting for the kids. It doesn't transcribe perfectly, but well enough to get a rough draft done. I can talk much faster than I can type, so I can get 500 first draft words done in around 10 minutes. And I thought that's great. It's nice to have, you know, somebody else kind of very similar experience to me. I found exactly the same kind of thing. You can find out more about A.C. Fuller and his really popular book over at his website, which is acfuller.com. And again, there'll be a link in the show notes, of course. And to all writers, I would say check it out, please, because he has a really great group going called Writer 2.0. And he does a really informative podcast. I think he's doing a couple of shows a week, sort of interview shows and another show where he's just sort of talking about writing and publishing and the space in between. It's really good. And you can ask to be a member of his Facebook group, the Writer 2.0 Facebook group, full of lots of nice people. So come over there and you can say hello to me over there, because I'm in that as well. I'd encourage you to check it out. And I'd encourage you to subscribe to his podcast, to the Writer 2.0 podcast. I know it's on iTunes, and you can also find it on his website. And there's all the methods of subscribing over on there. Okay, so now we'll get on to the last part of the show, which is the writer's toolbox section. And this part of the show is really quite short today, because rather than going to any lengthy resources or anything like that, it's really just a thought to keep in mind. So tough days and creative setbacks come with the territory. And what I'd just like you to keep reminding yourself is that as territories go, writing is a pretty damn good one. So enjoy the territory. And while you may not enjoy every single part of the scenery every day, always try to enjoy the journey. And on that rather profound note, I'll just say, well, I thought so, but then I wrote it. I'll just say, keep writing, keep tapping on the keys, keep scribbling, and above all, keep smiling. And if you could, find a bit of time to share the podcast with your writer friends or writer groups that you might be on. That would be really appreciated. And we would really love to have some subscribers. That would be fantastic. Our iTunes feed is fixed now. Hooray. So the good old podcast team, Apple, seem to have done a good job there and put me back on there. Also on Stitcher. You can find all the subscription information on the site, writingtalkpodcast.com. So I'll finish there. Thank you very much for listening, and goodbye.